correlations between Bitcoin trading cards and Bitcoin are massive. You have the Federal Reserve or the IMF that has an endless money printer, and they can inflate the market to no extent. They can go forever. The trading card market is very similar. The more popular it gets, the more they're going to print. So very similar to the Federal Reserve, depending on how the market is dependent on how much they print. So with us being a Bitcoin-only, Bitcoin-focused trading card project, I spent 4 years working on the ethos of our cards, and this project built off the ethos of Bitcoin. So one of the biggest things we do is finite supply, and this is something that's never been done before in trading cards. There may be little one-off sets that some of these companies will do, but for the most part, it's print on demand.
Welcome to the Bitcoin Playbook, where we discuss proven strategies for using Bitcoin in your business. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Aladdin Flynn, who's the founder of Bitcoin Trading Cards. Bitcoin Trading Cards produces high-quality Bitcoin collectible art with an educational twist. We're going to get to our interview with Aladdin right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Aladdin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you, Josh. Happy to be here.
So I'd like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. Are you ready for these?
Yeah, let's go.
Question number one is this: when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
First touch point was very early on. I was given a hell of an offer that now looking back, I wish I would have taken it for quite a bit of Bitcoin back in 2012. And I didn't know anything about it. And the guy that was making the offer didn't know anything about it. So to me, it just sounded like some random crap, and if he would have explained it better, then I would have been all over it. But he did a horrible job. Big bummer with that one. So the next solid touch point was my chiropractor and a good buddy of mine in 2016. And then I was definitely interested at that point because I saw where the price was at and remembered back when I had the opportunity back in 2012 and what the price point was at. So just in a investment curiosity, definitely started looking more into it. And then I started going down the freedom rabbit holes. And at that point, it was on. I was just studying everything that I could find. And again, my good buddy was in deep at that point, in deep a couple months that he'd been digging in, but he's a very freedom-minded person as well. I'd known him my whole life. So me and him just went on these crazy Bitcoin tangents back and forth for hours. What did you find? What did I find? And yeah, at that point I was hooked. Mm.
Question number two is, what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
Maybe I have a different take than a lot of people on this one. It's not so much the number go up or the investment or it's digital gold or any of those things. My biggest takeaway from Bitcoin is how much of a awakening it causes in so many people. And especially the further the price rises, the less of a chance you have. I mean, we are all so early, that's something we can talk about, because what we do is trying to reach the everyday person that doesn't know anything about Bitcoin. And yeah, we are beyond early. But at the same time, price-wise, we're up there pretty high. So getting people into Bitcoin as an investment, unless they've got a good life savings or a good IRA or something like that, it's going to go right past the majority of people because the unit bias. So them imagining they'll ever get a whole Bitcoin is nearly impossible for a lot of people. So for me, it's really the awakening that Bitcoin brings. Mm. And I'll say it like, you could start investing now. And I mean, I know there's a lot of crazy bullish predictions out there, but I like to stay a little more humbled on it. So let's say there's a 10X in the next 10 years. This could be really good for some people, but depending on what happens with inflation, it may not be as good as they were hoping. But what it can do is wake you up to start to understand how money works, how the system works, how rigged the system is, and what you can gain in life beyond any 10x is understanding how all of these things work and how to put yourself in a better position, whether it be with your career, with your health, with your family. The awakening that comes from Bitcoin is so much more valuable than any price game that you're going to get at this point. Mm.
So recently on X, people have been talking about trying to change the unit of Bitcoin for some of the very reasons you were just talking about. Do you have an opinion on that? Do you feel like we should talk about sats or bits or changing, you know, from sats to, you know, 100 million Bitcoin in a whatever, a BTC? Do you have any thoughts on that? Or do you feel like that's not really something worth thinking about too much?
I don't think we should be trying to change anything like that whatsoever. I do love the idea of a pricing thing in sats. One of the things that we're working on is a whole program where it's minting Satoshi millionaires. And I think using Satoshis as a unit is great. I don't think there's any changes that need to happen other than just how we explain Bitcoin and Satoshis to people, and it can do its own thing. So no, I don't think anything should be changed whatsoever. But I do think that when you're talking to the general public, talking in Satoshis is a great way to get them to understand that there's the majority of people can afford at some point to DCA into a million sats. Mm-hmm. And instead of looking at it like I have to get one whole Bitcoin, if you could just reach a million sats, then you're on your way. So I do think that that's a very important thing, just in the way that we explain Bitcoin to people. But beyond that, no, don't try to fix something that isn't broken.
Question number three, what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
Oh, that's a hard one. There are so many amazing resources out there. And then it just depends on the person's personality, right? So some people, you're going to get to them through their kids. So I would say Sean Marie is a great one for that. And then you have people that are maybe into it for sports. And there's literally some amazing athletes out there that you can just recommend. Hey, check out Kenny Florin. He's incredible. He's super based and he's a total Bitcoiner and he's got a great podcast and he talks about it all the time. So to say specifically what the number one best is, I don't think I could do that because it really just depends on each individual. Bitcoin trading cards is a great way to start.
Absolutely. And to your point about Sean Marie, they're about to, I think that's it today or just recently, they're recording, and this is obviously as of this conversation, not when this is released, but they're coming out with, I think, a Bitcoin for Families podcast. So it might be worth looking into for someone who is a dad or a mom, they have kids, and I don't know what all they're going to be talking about, but it sounds like it's going to be more family oriented and not all really into the Bitcoin weeds. So I'm interested to see what that's like. I love what they're doing as well. Let's move on to question number four, though. And that is, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work recently?
AI, sadly, as much as I want to deny what AI can do, and it scares the living crap out of me, the potential is massive for small companies, for anybody. My wife just started getting into it, and she spends a lot of time. We homeschool our kids, so my wife is always researching all the best assets that we have out there for homeschooling. And then she's a food nut, so getting into the healthiest things we can do. And rather than sitting on Google or wherever it might be searching for many hours, she's literally just typing it in, asking the question, and saving her massive amounts of time. So I think overall, for anyone that's like me that wants to deny the possibilities and power of AI, yes, it's scary as hell, and there's a lot of bad things that could potentially come with it. But there's a lot of really good resources that you can get from it, and especially as a small business, there's a lot you can do with it.
Do you feel like there are things you're doing with it right now that most people haven't thought about yet? And honestly, the answer, if you're using AI, it seems like everyone's using it. But if you're not spending a lot of time online and in places where AI is being talked about, like I find people even now that don't know what ChatGPT is. It blows my mind. But do you feel like you're using it in any ways that could be particularly helpful to business owners listening right now in order that they could, you know, somehow be benefited in their own businesses?
Yeah, I mean, HR is probably the number one. You can basically put your ethos, what you're hoping your brand is able to accomplish, how you want the voice of your brand to be seen by the millions of people that you're hopefully trying to reach. Having that in AI is really important, because then your team can just go in there and ask any question, and it saves time. Again, everything Bitcoin really teaches us at the end of the day is time is money, and all the time that we can save, like my wife not having to dig through Google for hours, is huge. And for a small company, these are things that can be created pretty simply. We have a guy now on the team. He's been on the team really since the beginning, but his job now is just AI 5 days a week. And that's all he does, is study everything new that's coming out and how we can use this inside our business to save as much time as possible and streamline everything as much as possible throughout the business.
Now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question. And it's this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
Why? Yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest missing pieces across the world right now. Maybe it's an ignorance is bliss thing. We don't want to ask why, because the answer we're going to get is a very uncomfortable answer across the board, from the food that we eat to where the education system came from, war, everything. At the end of the day, you start to go down the rabbit holes and follow the money, and almost everything comes down to some massive evil corruption out there. And cognitive dissonance is very, very heavy in this world today. And people just need to start asking why and get some courage and just hit it and embrace it, because these are the things that are going to hopefully make the changes and all the things that we're afraid to ask why about. If we all hide with our head in the sand, then it's never going to get changed. So I think really just above all, asking why. I don't care what degree you have. I don't care what kind of surgeon you are, how intelligent you are. If you don't have critical thinking skills, if you can't ask why beyond your particular segment or skill, then, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that can ask why that don't have any degrees, and they will pass you 1,000 miles an hour.
Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. If you are hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Well, Aladdin, we're here today to talk about Bitcoin trading cards. As I told you before we started recording, you've come highly recommended by multiple people. I'm excited to chat a little bit about what you guys are doing today. For people who have maybe heard of you but don't know much about you, you mind just giving us a quick overview of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm Aladdin. I'm the founder of Bitcoin Trading Cards. Again, I got into Bitcoin in 2016, went down all the rabbit holes. I've been a serial entrepreneur my entire life. So all I've done is create as much as possible. And I grew up on a small farm in the cannabis industry. So I learned very early on about corruption. The small town that I lived in was very corrupt. The county that I lived in is one of the most corrupt counties in California, which is saying a lot, from the sheriff department to Board of Supervisors, you name it. I learned very, very young just how massively corrupt everything was. And the majority of it all revolved around money in one way or another. So I did not have a lot of trust in the system, or if we could say any trust in the system, my entire life. And I always wanted to create something that was going to have a positive impact. And when I found Bitcoin, I was so hooked. At that time, I actually had another trading card project that I was doing. And it was time for me to make a really big pivot out of what I was doing at that time for my family, two young boys, moved and was at a point where I'm starting all over and did not have much of a savings or anything like that, and had a lot of time on my hands to figure out what is the next thing that I'm going to do. And just falling in love with Bitcoin and not being able to, like many people that go into Bitcoin, we get lost in it. The rabbit holes go deep. The passion grows daily. The more you meet people in Bitcoin, the stronger you feel, because before you meet people in Bitcoin, it's very lonely. Understanding these things, again, it just comes full circle to the majority of people not being open-minded. So it's an incredible experience getting into Bitcoin. And at that point, all I wanted to do is work in Bitcoin one way or another, but I'm not a coder. I was basically done with school right around seventh, eighth grade. So I don't have anything to show for myself when it comes to getting a job in any of these sectors other than my creativity. And the main thing I wanted to do is just scream Bitcoin at the top of my lungs across the world as loud as I could and try to get as many people to start to wake up and see what Bitcoin is. As an artist, I started following all the different Bitcoin artists, just blown away by the talent in the space, and needed to find my niche and how I can do this. So around 2017, 2018, the design and the idea of Bitcoin trading cards started to come together. I worked on it all through up until 2022. Late 2022 is when we launched. The whole point of Bitcoin trading cards is to make Bitcoin education and Bitcoin inspiration as simple and honestly fun as possible to get started on. And the majority of people, telling them they should read a book, sadly, in today's day and age, that is a big ask for most people. Asking someone to watch a podcast for an hour or two, that's a really big ask for the majority of people. They're hooked on Netflix. They're hooked on they can binge watch, you name it, for 12 hours a day. But asking them to watch an hour long podcast or hour and a half long, whatever it is, to get them to start to understand what Bitcoin is, it's just not happening. Mm-hmm. So trading cards were basically some of the first memes. They are basically the first NFTs, if you look at it that way. So it fit. And the cards are literally like your 22nd or 32nd short on Instagram or YouTube or whatever you might be watching. And I knew that that is something that everyone's on. So creating that in a way where someone could physically step out of the metaverse and use their own brain for a moment, tying those two things together, the really short time preference and some incredible art and literally just a cliff note on the back of the card that explains each subject, thought it has potential. And yeah, it's taken off really well.
That's awesome. It's funny how you've just used a bunch of digital examples to analogize Bitcoin trading cards, because, you know, a decade ago, you'd have to try to explain what digital versions would be. But we've moved so digital that it is almost unique to have almost an oddity, a novelty, to have a physical trading card. But you guys have, you know, a huge fan base. I was telling you also before we started recording that last year at the Bitcoin conference, there's just nonstop flow of people at your table. I'm curious to know, you know, what have the response has been? Obviously, people who know Bitcoin, like Bitcoin, they love the product. But what's been the response from people maybe who aren't Bitcoiners who have started to understand Bitcoin because of what you guys are creating?
It's been amazing. The coolest part is all the way down to like 8-year-olds, 12-year-olds. That's about the right time. They're into trading cards already. Trading cards are really popular after COVID and everything that happened then. So we got this new insurgence of the hobby just exploding. So definitely kids are all about the cards, but really the biggest audience I have and the biggest community demographic is late 30s and into their 60s. And that's one of the funnest parts is getting people that are literally like, I haven't collected trading cards since I was a kid. And that was 40 something years ago. And this is like re-inspired my drive to collect trading cards. And one of the biggest things for a lot of people, whether they're into Bitcoin or not, is the art. Art is the universal language. So we've got videos and done some amazing reaching out to different networks that have went around the world to try to teach people about Bitcoin. And we've given away tens of thousands of packs of these cards to different friends in the space. There's a small community in the mountains of Peru, and they went to a school and basically handed these packs out to the kids in this little school. And the kids were opening the packs, and the oohing and aahing, they just loved it. And none of them speak any English at all. It's the universal language of the artwork that is, it's inspiring. And I think the combination of what we have with the artwork, the simple education, the chase, there's something about that chase, and the number go up. You have to have an incentive to want to learn something new. There are some people that are willing to spend their entire life studying anything and everything, and these are brilliant people, but these are very few and far between. To get your everyday person to literally try and learn something brand new for no particular reason. It's not for a job. It's not for something that they specifically have to do in life. It's just something you're trying to entice them to do. You better have a really good incentive. So the collectability of the trading cards and the chance to open a pack and potentially get a one of one or one of these really rare cards. The artwork is huge because we work with Bitcoin artists. So it could be you're a big fan of Maddox and you just keep ripping packs until you find that Maddox, or you got lucky in the first pack you opened, you pulled a Maddox. So I think all of these things combined is what really gets the community excited. And like when you were saying about the conferences, we do something very special with them where we've went to a lot of the conferences and created commemorative packs or commemorative cards, where when you go to these conferences, bringing something home for the family, most of our significant others or our children are not super interested in Bitcoin. And you can come home with a hat or a t-shirt or a bunch of publications that you got in your goodie bag or a magazine, but getting your wife or your kids or your husband really excited about something like that, if they're not into Bitcoin, probably not going to happen. But when you come home with a pack of trading cards or even one special commemorative card, and you have the limited edition card that represents that conference you went to, it'll attract all ages. And the coolest thing for me in that is my wife. Luckily, I have an office here where I get to display everything. But if I didn't, none of these things would be displayed in my house. My wife has things the way she likes it. And coming home with a bunch of magazines or a bunch of big posters or prints, they sadly would probably just go in a box somewhere in the garage, and that's where they would stay. But with these trading cards, you can literally hold something that's 3.5 inches by 2.5 inches, and that can fit just about anywhere. So the collectability of being able to keep these things for very, very long periods of time, pass them down to your kids, it's huge. And really the size of them makes a lot of the difference in that, of what you can keep and can't keep.
I don't know how well you keep up with the stats, but I'm sort of curious to know, especially since you're creating new cards for every single, at least primary main event in the Bitcoin ecosystem, how many unique cards, like how many different types of cards do you currently have? And then also, you know, what are maybe some of the more common ones versus what are some of the one of ones that people would really like to get their hands on?
Okay, so first I will have to give you a little breakdown in your audience on the trading card market, because this is something that most people do not know. And again, it's more of the why. So the correlations between Bitcoin trading cards and Bitcoin are massive. And I'll explain it like this. You have the Federal Reserve or the IMF that has an endless money printer, and they can inflate the market to no extent. They can go forever. The trading card market is very similar. The more popular it gets, the more they're going to print. The majority of trading card projects like Pokemon, Wizards of the Coast, your sports cards, they will come out with a new set. It'll have a special theme to it. And they will not tell you how many packs or cards or anything exist in these sets, because if it sells really well, they want to print a lot more. So very similar to the Federal Reserve, depending on how the market is dependent on how much they print. So with us being a Bitcoin-only, Bitcoin-focused trading card project, I spent 4 years working on the ethos of our cards, and this project built off the ethos of Bitcoin. So one of the biggest things we do is finite supply. And this is something that's never been done before in trading cards. There may be little one-off sets that some of these companies will do, but for the most part, it's print on demand. So whenever we come out with something new, it's that number of whatever packs we print, and that's it. To give a little bit of an example, Pokemon could print upwards of 1 billion to even 3 billion packs a year, depending on the demand. We print on average, so far it's been around 50 to 60,000 packs a year. So, and with every pack being, you know, exactly how many of those packs are going to exist. So with each of our sets, each one is done a little bit different, and each person will have a different reason for why they want to collect it and which ones they want to collect. We have over here BitBlock Boom behind me. So that one is literally your 1980s flair cardboard. It just feels, smells, and looks old school. The nostalgia you get from that particular pack is amazing. It's boomers in Bitcoin. So you're going to collect Gary Leland, Bob Burnett, some of the most amazing boomers in Bitcoin, Larry Lepar. So you're going to have a particular person that's going to want to collect that. And then you have the whale packs, and these are specifically geared around showcasing the Bitcoin artists in the space. So Bitcoin artists, a lot of these guys, their artwork goes for top dollar or top sats, however you want to call it. And the chance to collect some of these pieces could be nearly impossible for a lot of people because of their price point and because of how scarce they are. But in our packs, you could potentially pull a Maddox one of one, a Bitcoin Apex one of one for the price of a pack. And everyone has an equal opportunity and equal odds to be able to pull this out of any one of our packs. So I think this is what really makes these very special, is you can go specific to what your biggest interest is in Bitcoin. Because basically what we've done is we've captured the Bitcoin culture across the board. We work with Shamari, we work with Start9 and Cold Card, and you name it. If they're a Bitcoin only company and they're doing everything they can to do the right thing, then we reach out and ask them if they'd be cool with us creating a card for them. And they go into the resource category. Then we have the Bitcoin artists, we have the Bitcoin athletes, Bitcoin musicians, Bitcoin devs, the Bitcoin warriors, freedom fighters, you name it, they're all inside these sets that we create. So you're literally collecting Bitcoin culture in this moment. So it's time stamping this amazing revolution, evolution that we're all on right now. And to be able to look back, I mean, sadly, as the space grows and hyper Bitcoinization comes along, It's going to get bigger and bigger, the space. And a lot of these OGs that we all know being in Bitcoin, they're not going to be as well known when we have hundreds of millions of people in the Bitcoin space. And sadly, we will have people that come in from outside that are just here to basically play on Bitcoin and try to utilize the name to get more clout or whatever they're doing. So while we are here today, this is really timestamping the OG stages of Bitcoin, which I really appreciate coming from the cannabis industry and appreciating the OGs in the cannabis industry that took major risks to make the medical benefits of cannabis available for so many people. And now that the cannabis industry is fully legalized in a lot of places, these OGs are gone and you will never hear their name. And if you do, you're never going to know who they are. So I think there's a lot of very special things that we're doing with the cards in that way. And that makes the chase that much more incredible. Back to your main point after my long rant, the one of one just depends on what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, so talking about kind of the OGs, like I didn't really take Bitcoin too seriously until 2021. And I'm very familiar with Andreas Antonopoulos, but I never really listened to all that much of his stuff. Obviously, you know, you've seen him and whatever else, but it's just interesting. Even coming in 2021, there are a lot of people from the past that I wouldn't even recognize. And that's going to be even more true in the next 4 or 5 years, you know, 10 years, 50, whatever else. So that's a point that's well made. And it's interesting to think about. I'm curious to know if there are any interesting like side quests or personal journeys or goals that you know of that certain people have when it comes to the types of cards they're trying to collect. There may not be a great answer here, but I feel like with all of the possibilities, there are probably some interesting strategies or goals that people have out there. I don't know if you know about many of these, but I'd be interested to hear if you do.
I mean, there's certain cards that are definitely a lot more sought after than others. In Series 3, we just came out with, this is our flagship. So we do this one once a year. This is Warriors versus Villains. So we've exposed the WEF and the IMF. And it's a very, very base set of cards. Big Pharma, Military Industrial Complex. We didn't go after particular individuals as the villains. The villains, there's so many of them that it just wouldn't do it justice. We have to go after the companies and the actual entities that are out there making a way bigger impact than one person, because most of them are puppets on a string anyway. So this set in particular, there's a lot of people chasing the Sailor card, because the Sailor card in this set in particular is, it just turned out absolutely incredible. Then you have the Omega Candle. That one's definitely a chase, because if we get an Omega Candle, that card in particular is going to be worth quite a bit, I can imagine. So yeah, a lot of it is trying to predict what could come in a meme sense with the cards, and creating some really cool cards around those different ideas, because it's kind of like a rookie card. You have a new rookie that comes on the team and you have many, but there's going to be only a handful that end up becoming the next Barry Bonds, the next legend in that space. So it's really fun for myself trying to predict some of these things that might happen and then creating a card around it, because it really does become a rookie card in the beginning. And like the Omega Candle, if we actually get something like this to happen, I will be chasing that card myself.
Were there any memes that developed that you guys were kind of caught flat-footed on that you had to quickly try to produce?
So because we produce everything really slow in the way that we really take our time with everything we do, especially coming out with a finite supply. There is no chance to pivot. You spend all the time, you create the art and the education, everything behind it. And when you drop it, your fingers crossed. We are a small company. So anything we produce normally takes us 6 to 8 months. The big set took us 18 months. So even though it comes out once a year, we are overlapping the time putting into each one of these large sets, and large set 21,000 packs finite supply once a year. So yeah, there is no room for oopses in this company right now. We're too small for that, and it just, with as OCD as I am, we'll do everything we can to make sure that'll never happen. But to your point of the memes, it's trying to keep up with everything, but with as fast as this space moves, I mean, every year is 10 years. So we try to just grab onto amazing things as they come as much as possible, but we don't have a whole lot of room to just throw in a lot of different things. So I would say on the meme front, no, we do pretty good at just staying streamlined into what our focus is.
Yeah. Kind of the opposite side of the coin is, have there ever been times where you thought that there was a meme that was definitely going to stick that didn't end up being as popular like 4, 5, 6, 8 months later?
Old man yells at Bitcoin. Mm. Peter Schiff. That one I definitely thought would pick up a lot more traction because it's one of my favorite memes. But now we have Peter Schiff going to the conference, and I don't know what that is going to bring. I've got a lot of different ideas of what it might be, but things like that, because it is part of the Bitcoin culture specifically, more than just the number go up or have fun staying poor and some of the little catchphrases that we have in Bitcoin. That's got to be my favorite that I really thought would pick up a lot more traction.
I feel like that's going to be a great long-term standby, though. It's going to become relevant time after time with Peter Schiff acting how he does. So I feel like that'll have more staying power maybe than you're thinking. I'm also curious if you're always thinking about what that next thing is, you know, and I'd be curious to know if there are any predictions that you have. This may be proprietary information that you can't share because it might come out into a trading card. But do you have any insights or hot takes that you see on the horizon that could be fodder for future card material?
The balance of capturing the OG stories in Bitcoin and being able to capture the current events is one that I'm starting to try and figure out how to make that balance. I think honestly, pulling more people out of the cards and not having as many Bitcoiners in the cards, because as the space blows up, as number goes up, a lot of people holding Bitcoin, calling Bitcoin influencers, whatever, their incentives are going to be drawn towards so many other things. And that was a big concern for me in the first place. What if I put these people in the packs and it goes the wrong direction and I'm talking really highly about them in the cards and then they go and do some really shady stuff. So as again, the price starts to pump and more people come in and more opportunities come in, my fear of putting individuals in the cards is getting bigger and bigger at this point. So I think going more towards more fun, more creative stuff, more of the Omega candle, getting into more of the meme culture and adding just more of a fun twist to it. Honestly, a lot of people love the educational part about the cards, but it really is the art. It really is the fun stories that we can tell inside the cards that capture the most attention, the most prestige throughout our collectors. So focusing on that, I think, is going to be really big. And then one thing we haven't done yet is add Bitcoin rewards to the cards. The cards have sold for crazy amounts of Bitcoin, which has blown my mind since day one because I was never expecting that. But being able to add a Bitcoin chase in there, again, minting Satoshi millionaires, I think this could be something very, very fun. The reason we haven't done it yet is making sure that we do this in a way that is trustless as much as possible. We can tell you that there's Bitcoin in the packs and there's whatever high numbers we could put in there. But if you can't verify that, then I don't want to put my name behind it. I want it to be something that you could literally go on the Bitcoin blockchain and see, okay, this reward is sitting right here, ready to go. And when someone actually pulls that card, you can see it was redeemed. It was pulled off into their cold storage. So this is something we've been working on for a while. And I think we're pretty dialed in for the next series coming out to be able to have Bitcoin rewards in there. So you're not just chasing the physical trading card, but you're actually chasing the chance to be a Satoshi millionaire, if not a lot more sats than that in some of the cards.
That's really cool. Have you figured out what the highest sats reward might be, or is that also proprietary information?
I mean, we've went back and forth. For me, obviously, if you throw one whole Bitcoin in there, it's going to be a hell of a chase, right? People are going to be very excited to get that. And I would love to do something like that. But I would rather see the Bitcoin dispersed to as many people as possible. So I'm sure we're going to go to a tenth of a Bitcoin without a doubt. But I would like to have as many Satoshi millionaire cards as possible, because this project being specifically geared towards getting new people into Bitcoin, especially kids. You get a 16-year-old, 18-year-old, I mean, you name it, around that age group, and they're holding a card with a million Satoshis on it, and they learn how to pull that off, put it in cold storage. That's a nice little investment for someone that young that has 20, 30 years to potentially hold on to that.
That's really cool. So one final question I have for you, and you may not have a great answer to this, but for business owners who are listening right now, do you have any recommendations for taking principles from your business with trading cards and taking that and bringing it into their own businesses? Essentially, the psychology of scarcity and things like that. Any insights, or do you feel like that's just too hard to create broad brush recommendations for business owners?
Yeah, I mean, every business has its own battles to fight when it comes to all these different things. Adapt or die, I think, is a really, really big one that I had to learn. And it comes back to that. Be willing to pivot. Stick to your honor, integrity, and ethos. Don't ever change that, but be willing to pivot, be willing to look further than what you thought day one was the answer, may not be the answer towards the middle or the end. So this is one of the reasons why business plans are very difficult, because once you create it, you're trying to follow this plan that you had made in the beginning, but so many things are going to change, and don't lock yourself into having to stay with the original plan you had on day one, because everything's going to change dramatically. Look at the space. Since 2022 to where we're at today, I've been going to as many Bitcoin conferences as possible. I've met thousands of people in the space, and I can tell you 100% the difference between the community and how the space was in 2022 compared to how it is today, it's night and day. So if you were creating your business specifically around what was happening and the feeling, the community, the vibe in 2022, and you're running it the same way today, you're probably going to fall on your face, because it's not the same space. And where it's going to be in 3 to 5 years from now, absolutely not the same space. And anybody that's taken the time to look into AI and see just how fast AI is moving and growing and teaching itself and evolving, this is different than anything the world has ever seen before. So as you have this crazy Bitcoin movement that literally has the potential to shape the entire world in a completely different way, at the same time, now you have AI doing the same thing in different ways, but moving at lightning speed compared to what Bitcoin could ever do. So put these two massive human evolutions together at the same time. Anybody that says, I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen in 5 years, is fooling themselves, and they're fooling whoever they're telling. So think for yourself and be willing to really just expand your mind and the potential of what might be here in the next 2 to 5 years, because it's not the same rodeo we've been in.
Well, Aladdin, I appreciate you sharing today about Bitcoin trading cards. You have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave listeners with, as well as where you might recommend them to go to keep up with what you guys are doing?
Yeah, let's do this. Let's rip a pack together, because the only way to truly know what we are, you got to see it. So here, wasn't supposed to have two villains on the top of this thing. All right. Warrior or villain?
You know what? Let's go with some warriors today.
Okay, just so they know, I'm taking the warrior off the top. And this will give everyone a real quick idea here. Let me pull my camera down for you. No NFTs attached to this. It is physical trading cards, just like what you'd collect when you were a kid. So, oh, we got James Lavish.
Nice.
Starting it off, the James Bond. And then on the back, it'll give you a little bit of info on James Lavish and where you can find him and learn from James. BJ Ditcher. So this is a Freedom Fighter card. And we have the Economic Hitman. So anyone that doesn't understand what the Economic Hitman is, figure it out, learn it. We actually have the Economic Hitman, the book, in here as well. Definitely a rabbit hole. So again, it'll give you a little breakdown, and then it tells you exactly how many of these cards will ever exist. And then there's your first foil, and that is the Inflation card. And this is a Bitcoin orange foil. And on the back, it'll tell you right there, this is out of 210. So very rare compared to any other trading cards in the world. You're getting the most incredible hits on these cards. And this is the Halving out of 421. Oh, and look at that. We pulled the Economic Hitman book. There is the Seed Signer. Get Based. If you don't know who Get Based is, Julian, Isabel, and Adam are incredible. Check them out. Oh, Nico and Opti. And here's the hit. Boom. Oh, and it is Get Based. So you could see we go above and beyond. We actually have cold foil stamping on top of hollow foil. On top of UV, I mean, we push the envelopes. We actually just won an award with the printer that is going to push us to a whole nother level. This is the second largest printer in the entire world. And there's your number stamp right there. It's kind of hard to see on the camera. But that is number 232 out of 500. So yeah, we actually won the award for basically best print production through this printer for 2024, specifically because we did the proof of work. We really went above and beyond with everything we did, and we're trying to change the game. David and Goliath's story a little bit, because we are a very small team, but we're headed to take on the biggest trading card companies in the world. And if your product isn't quality through and through, our chances are never going to happen. So we really push the envelope with everything we do to create the best trading card project on earth.
And where do people go if they want to keep up with what you're doing and maybe even buy a pack for themselves?
BTC-cards.com, or you can look up Bitcoin Trading Cards.
Great. Aladdin, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Josh.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Bitcoin Playbook. If you want to reach out to either me or Aladdin, you can find those links down in the show notes. And be sure to check out the Bitcoin Trading Cards website so you can purchase and open a pack for yourself. As always, keep building, keep growing. Until next time, keep living and leading well.